The Old Testament reading is from Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he had presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 1. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. You may rise. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins shall be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our sermon text for this evening is Luke chapter 24, 44 to 53, the gospel that was just read, The sermon title is Jesus Ascends. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today is a day of endings. We celebrate on this day the last moments when our Lord Jesus Christ had his feet firmly planted on this earth, nearly 2,000 years ago. We celebrate the last words that he spoke to the apostles, as it is found in our gospel lesson in Matthew 28, Mark 16, and Acts chapter 1. We celebrate the last visual images that the apostles had of Jesus, who, while blessing them, was carried up into the sky, hidden by a cloud, and was never to be seen by them again in this life. Ascension is also the last day in the festival half of the church year. The festival half of the year, whose Bible lessons are the stories and teachings of Jesus, runs from the first Sunday of Advent until the present day. 10 days from now, on Pentecost Sunday, we begin hearing about the Holy Spirit and about the church. On Trinity, we celebrate the Trinity as a whole. And then throughout the rest of the liturgical year, our Bible lessons take us through various doctrinal, moral, and thematic topics, more or less at the whim of modern lectionaries and their authors. There is less celebration in the long season of Pentecost, and more teaching and more reflection. You may not be aware of the fact that many Christians have no fixed set of Bible lessons for Sundays and festivals, as we Lutherans do. These non-liturgical churches have a church year that's more like our season of Pentecost, only it's all around the year. The liturgical churches like us that follow a set lectionary are the Roman Catholic Church, Eastern Orthodox churches, all the Lutheran churches, Anglican and Episcopal churches, the Methodists, United and Uniting churches, and some Reformed churches that follow the church orders of the 16th century in Switzerland, Netherlands, and Scotland. Now, if you asked your Baptist friend in your neighborhood or at your work tomorrow if they attend Ascension service, don't be surprised if they give you a blank stare. It's not that they don't believe in the Ascension of our Lord, but they may not be aware that there is a festival to celebrate this occasion. Our Bible lesson is only one of four accounts of our Lord's departure, and it's curious that John is silent on the matter, but then he always takes a different tack on the stories about Jesus. He's kind of the Paul Harvey of the Gospels, who intends to give you the rest of the story. On the day of the Ascension, before Jesus led them out to the Mount of Olives, he gave his last lecture or sermon to the assembled disciples. The basic theme of that lecture was, everything must be fulfilled. Jesus was pointing to the Old Testament scriptures when he said that. Every single book of the Old Testament pointed to the Messiah in one fashion or another. Jesus then took them verbally through each book and showed them where and how each prophecy about him was fulfilled. The most important points of Jesus' lecture are outlined in verses 46 and 47. Jesus emphasized how the Old Testament foretold that, quote, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And then he concluded with these directives to them. You are witnesses of these things, and stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Now, there was a very practical purpose to Jesus' last lecture to his disciples. They were the ones who were going to be preaching in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and that on Pentecost Sunday. They were the ones who would be responsible for convincing the Jews in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Galilee, and all around the world that the Jewish Messiah was supposed to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. They were the ones who needed to know those Old Testament prophecies so they could point the Jews to those Old Testament scriptures and prove that Jesus was indeed the true Messiah. They were the ones who would be preaching repentance and forgiveness of sins to all nations, to all peoples, whether they were Jew or Gentile. An analogy to this last lecture of Jesus would be any of the movies that are about the Allied bombers of World War II. The one movie I remember is called Memphis Belle, where the commanding officer is instructing the bomber crews in their missions, including targets, anti-aircraft guns, where they are, enemy fighters, weather, and other challenges. The lecture includes a pep talk, after which the flyboys are sent on their way. If you watch the Star Wars movies, you may have seen something very similar to that. We can thank God that the 11 apostles, 12 if you include St. Paul, completed their missions with distinction and honors. And we have evidence for this in the scriptures themselves. In addition to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, which really is their story, we also have these witnesses. And this is in Mark, it says, they went out and preached everywhere. Just think about that. Everywhere. Mark 16:20. Then Colossians 1:23 says, the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven. And then in Romans 16:25 to 26, Paul says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, which has been made known to all the nations. That's in the perfect past tense, which means that it happened before he wrote the book of Romans, that it already had gone out to all the nations. Now, we may not think, or probably they didn't come to the New World. If you were a believer in the teaching of Joseph Smith, you might have some ideas about that. But this is what we know about where they actually went. And maybe they went other places too. The earliest church historians, Eusebius and Hippolytus, as well as Josephus, the Jewish historian, tell us that the apostles traveled as far as these lands in their own lifetime. First is Andrew, to modern-day Georgia, and I'm not referring to Atlanta, by the way. It's the area adjacent to the Black Sea near Turkey. Bartholomew, to Armenia, near modern-day Georgia and India. James, the son of Alphaeus, a local missionary in Jerusalem. James, the son of Zebedee, local missionary in Judea, and the first apostle to die as a martyr by order of King Herod, Acts 12, verse 2. John, the brother of James, the son of Zebedee, to Ephesus, and then banished to the island of Patmos. Matthew, also known as Levi, to Parthia, which is modern-day Iran. Simon, also known as Peter, to many places, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia Minor, and finally Italy. Philip, to Phrygia, which is modern-day, part of modern-day Turkey. Simon the Zealot, Bishop of Jerusalem after the death of James, Thaddeus, also known as Judas, not Judas Iscariot, it's the other Judas, son of James, to Edessa and to the surrounding Mesopotamian area, which would be modern-day Iraq, Syria, Turkey, and Iran. Thomas, to Parthia, Medea, Hyrcanus, which is part of modern-day Iran, and Bactria, which is part of modern-day Afghanistan. Matthias, local missionary in Jerusalem, and last but not least, St. Paul, missionary to Asia Minor, Greece, Illyricum, which includes modern-day Croatia, Italy, and probably to Spain. All were martyrs for the cause of Christ, except for John, who died of natural causes in his old age. Well, what is this application? What is the application of this Bible lesson for us today? First, we praise and thank God for sending Jesus down to earth and sending the apostles out to the four corners of the earth so that you would be saved and so that all nations would hear the gospel and be saved from eternal condemnation. Second, we are reminded that repentance and forgiveness still needs to be preached in his name to all nations. And this is one of the reasons that we are members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which presently supports 100 missionaries around the globe. It is also why our ladies are members of and support the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, which also loves to support missionaries and their work. Third, we are reminded that today, Jesus sits at the right hand of God, as the creeds confess, where he serves as our mediator. The devil wants to point fingers at you and say, "You are a sinner." But from his throne on high, Jesus overthrows that accusation and says to you, "You are a saint if you believe in me." Jesus is also the one who serves as the only mediator for your prayers to God. Your prayers ascend to him every time you offer prayers in his name, whether in church or privately. Finally, we are reminded that as the two angels told the disciples, Jesus will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven, Acts chapter 1:11. So, any day when you're outdoors and you see clouds in the sky, remember, Jesus will come back to earth someday, surrounded with clouds, descending from heaven to this earth in the sight of all. And that's his promise. Even so, Lord Jesus, quickly come. In our ascended Savior's name, amen.